And now it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Royal Polaris, the world's finest long-range sports fisher. By Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best, Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray. Rock on Rick Max, it's a big day. Something's happening. Oh, yeah, he's getting married to Dallas today. Yeah. So Corey is here today with me, co-hosting, and we have a couple of great guests here, Al Q and Conway Bowman, saltwater fly fishing experts. They are the men to talk about when you want to talk about fly fishing in the saltwater. So it's going to be a great show. You stay tuned. This is Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and network.
We all need to get around, but we all need something different from our vehicles. Your San Diego County Ford dealers have you covered if you're looking for a new truck this month. Plus, it's SUV season, so they have great deals for everyone. Whether it's a new EcoSport that is nimble and fun around town, or the Ford Explorer that is capable of putting a boat in the water and has seating for seven, Ford has you covered. Ford trucks and SUVs aren't just powerful and legendary. They have the latest technology that helps you seamlessly connect your smartphone and ensure you're safe on the road. Features like Pro Trailer Backup Assist on trucks are truly a game changer at the ramp, helping you back up a trailer by simply turning a knob on the dash and doing the hard work for you. So check out all the great deals during SUV season and save some money on the right gear for you. Learn more at buyfordnow.com or visit your San Diego County Ford dealers today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
If you're into saltwater fishing, listen to this. Saturday, November 2nd, it's Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Hi, this is Doug Kern. We are pulling out all the stops on this one with discounts from 20 to 80% on hundreds of items. Over 20 manufacturers reps like Shimano, plenty of seminars by saltwater experts, a giant raffle, and most of all, incredible deals on tackle. Closeouts we've never offered before at Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing. Check out all the Shimano and PowerPro product we have and talk to the Shimano and PowerPro guys about the best Shimano rod and reel for your trip. Backed by popular demand, the Shimano Tranks Casting Contest. Cast a Shimano Tranks 500 and Terramar 90H rod and show your surface iron casting skills. The winner gets a Tranks 500 worth $500. It's our biggest sale of the year with hundreds of items discounted up to 80%. Plus, plenty of manufacturer's incentives from Shimano and PowerPro to spice up the pot. We will have a huge raffle and lots of fun for everyone, so don't miss it. Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing. Unbelievable pricing on tackle, clothing, and accessories. Saturday, November 2nd.
Fifth Avenue Insurance has a new name. It's Snap Insurance. Still providing anglers and boaters with the best in boat insurance and the lowest rates. The experts at Snap Insurance will make sure your boat and property are covered right. Traveling to Mexico? Snap has you covered. You can even work with your agent to wrap your home and auto with your boat policy to save even more. Call them for advice on your current boat policy or any of your insurance needs. Snap Insurance, 800-527-6617 or snapins.com. That's snapins.com.
G'day folks, Damon Olson from Nomad Tackle. We're the tackle company from down under, making lures that catch fish everywhere. We've got an incredible range of gear that's catching a heap of fish in California right now. You'll hear us say crafted by experience a lot. It's because I've spent 20 years running Australia's biggest offshore charter operation on the Great Barrier Reef, and it's that hard-won knowledge that's gone into designing an amazing range of lures and tackle that are up to the toughest challenge. I design everything we make to catch more fish and work perfectly straight out of the box. I design the patented auto-tune system on the DTX Minnow to ensure that the lures track straight, swim super fast and deep all the time. The DTX 200 dives to over 40 feet at 12 knots, and it's already proven itself as the must-have Wahoo trolling lure with the long-range fleet. Our Buffalo Flashfall jigs are catching monster tuna and come rigged and ready with serious hooks. We've got everything you need for tuna, yellowtail, wahoo, and any other species you can dream of. So check us out now at nomadtackle.com and find your nearest dealer in Southern California right now.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And, man, you're fresh back from the Baja.
Yeah, fresh back from Palmas de Cortez. What a great trip we had down there, and I'll talk about that later on in the show. But, man, our 25th annual Let's Talk Hookup Palmas de Cortez Fall Spectacular.
Looked like it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, we had a real blast down there, and had some challenging weather. We had challenging weather day on Sunday. They had 5 inches of rain. That tropical storm veered in instead of out and dumped right on top of southern Cabo. They had some pretty serious conditions down in Cabo and East Cape. But we were out with Genrin Sport Fishing on that beautiful Vaquera with the Sea Keeper, and we caught tuna and had no issues.
Had a good time.
Thanks
to the Sea Keeper.
But it was great. Had an unbelievable dive at Cabo Pulmo the next day, which I'll talk about. That's
supposed to be incredible.
It's incredible. 100-pound pargo, and
isn't that
giant.
The northernmost Pacific reef?
Yes.
I mean coral reef.
On the west coast.
Yes. Okay.
Most coral reefs occur on east coast of major continents. This is on the west coast.
But it's the most beautiful. Northern.
Yes.
How cool.
Yeah, it's an amazing place, yeah. So, anyway, but very popular now compared to the days in previous years when I dove down there many years ago with John Ireland and when Mark was in the dive business. They go through like 200 divers a day. They have a limit on the numbers. They limit it very, very specifically. But it's worldwide. I mean, there were people from Spain there. And yeah.
Kind of cool.
So it is pretty cool. So talk more about our tournament and such like that. But we have a couple great guests in the studio here. Al Q, Conway Bowman. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning,
hey,
Pete.
Great to have you guys. Now, Conway, you have been out catching some fish, haven't you? Or actually, can we call a shark a fish?
You know, yeah, I think technically they are a fish.
Yeah.
I actually checked with my wife. She said, yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
But, yeah, it's been good. It's been a good season. But we've got this sort of fall run of Makos coming in now, and it's been good. So hopefully that holds through, mid-November. Typically I get my last Mako around Thanksgiving, and then it's off to just do nothing during the winter, I guess.
Water's still warm, though. I was offshore yesterday, 69 degrees, still beautiful conditions,
yeah.
End of February here. So it's kind of a, is it a water temperature thing with the Makos?
Yeah, it is. So when it gets, a great Mako temp is between 66 and 68. Mm. And once it gets over that, typically the fish get smaller and they move somewhere else. And then in the fall, once it starts cooling down again, which it's perfect now, because where I'm fishing, it was like, I think it was about 67 yesterday. It was great. So that cooler water, the Makos prefer that.
Ah,
interesting.
Yeah, so.
And you've hooked some big ones.
Yeah, we had this year I saw more big Makos than I ever have locally.
Yeah.
Al and I actually were fishing up north last year and the year before, and we have a lot of big fish up there. But this year, all those big Makos were right off the San Diego coast. So. It's great, but it's pretty overwhelming for a fly angler when they see a 500-pound Mako come to a 24-foot bay boat, and I'm saying, throw your popper at it. They're like, what the heck is that? Because they're not expecting that. So,
yeah.
But it was a tremendous season for big fish. Not a lot of school-sized fish though. So those are the Makos between 60 and 100 pounds. And I think the big ones were just in there probably chasing them away or maybe even eating them. I don't know. But
it
was crazy. But so, it was a great year.
So do you think the Mako population is recovering because of some of the long lines and gill nets going away? Or?
Maybe. I don't know. I would say that, we're not – so this year, as I said, we saw more big Makos and not a lot of smaller ones. So that's sort of it's confusing – for me to look at that, where in the past we had a lot of smaller Makos. So we had the smaller recruitment sort of size fish, but now we just had a bunch of big ones. So I think it has to do more with water temp. But I think overall, the Mako numbers are good. We see a lot of them every year. So that's really, really great.
And you're 100% release.
100% release. I will never, ever, ever keep a Mako shark, and I've had guys offer me a lot of dough to do it for the record books, and I won't do it.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're just such beautiful creatures.
They are. They're unbelievable.
Amazing.
The greatest game fish, in my opinion, on the West Coast.
Really?
You can sight fish to them. They jump. And that's the great thing about a Mako. They jump. so unbelievably, I mean, 20 feet out of the water. Wow. Not once, not twice. You hook one of these big ones, they're gonna go three to four, six times out of the water. It's amazing. It's an amazing sight. And Al's done it with me a bunch of times.
I got to attest that I was with him when we hooked a 700 pounder and a 600 pounder.
Yeah, and is that part of that trailer, that 4-minute trailer I saw? So if you go to letstalkhookup.com, you go to the website, and there's a trailer down at the bottom.
Yeah, we were on that trip.
But it's everything you're describing.
Yeah, it's intense.
They're jumping out of the water.
Yeah. Well, Corey, I got to tell you, man, you know, you're putting out a chum slick that's like, I don't know, miles and miles and miles, and you're waiting. And all of a sudden, you look as far as you can on the horizon, and the birds start lifting off the water, and you know that the tax man's coming. And when you see that fish come in at that size, it was just nothing like I've ever experienced. It was really unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, and so people fly all over the world to do big game fly fishing. They go to Mexico, they go to Guatemala, they go everywhere to get primarily big tuna and big marlin. We have probably the greatest big game fly fishery right out our back door here. And, you know, Al and I have been fortunate. We've traveled a lot, and we've done a lot of that, but I'll tell you, man, nothing really beats this right here. Being able to sight fish to a fish that size and watch the take, and then what happens after that, the jumps and the fights. So.
When that fish goes into overgear, first of all, when you hook them, they don't even know they're hooked, right? And then they start realizing, okay, they feel the steel a little bit and they take off. It's like you can't imagine the force and the speed. Yes. And then when they launch 15 feet, 20 feet out of the air, and they'll do that, like Conway said, three or four or five times. It's just a spectacle that it's etched in your mind forever.
That's crazy. On conventional gear, this is a major challenge. How in the heck do you do it on fly gear?
Okay, so that's interesting. So a number of years ago, I hooked a very large mako, probably over 1,000 pounds off Catalina on conventional gear. It took me 5.5 hours to get that thing to the boat on stand-up.
Five gear. And a half hours.
I got it to the boat. I was beat up. We had a fish this year that was probably not that big, but it was huge. It was well over 600. We got that fish to the boat in 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Really?
And I think what happens with a fly rod, you can only put so much pressure on those fish. And they basically, after they go through their runs and their jumps, they sort of settle down and they concede a little bit and they kind of just cruise. And so with a small boat, like my bay boat, I can run right up on them. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, if you run up on them correctly, they don't get too spooked. And then basically you just grab the leader and you break the leader. You're not doing a traditional release on those fish.
Yeah.
But you can leader them. And a leadered fish in fly fishing, touching the leader is a leadered fish. So I think it's – you're not –
So you're not getting your fly back?
No, I'm not. Not in those big ones. I think because you can only put a certain amount of pressure on those fish with a fly rod.
Yeah.
And with a conventional reel, I mean, you're buckled down 30 pounds of drag. And those things are always fighting, and they feel that. I mean, it's sort of like going hunting, elephant hunting with a BB gun, basically, if you think about it. You know, you're out there with even the heaviest fly tackle is the lightest, I mean, big game tackle. So
how heavy a fly rod?
So I have these custom one-piece rods for the really big, big makos. And they would be considered maybe a 20 weight. But they're one piece rods. John White at Dana Landing makes them for me.
Oh, no
great
kidding.
Sticks, yeah.
Johnny does. Wow.
And so you can call him and ask him what they are, but that's it. 8 foot, one piece, and they would be I guess considered a 20 weight. They're very, very stiff.
Yeah.
But still a very light rod and reel combination for a fish that size. But people cannot believe that you can get a fish that big to the boat with that light of tackle, but you can.
Al, you've experienced a lot of different types of fly fishing. What is it like having a giant mako on the fly rod? I mean, you've caught big roosters, you've caught a lot of big fish on the fly rod.
Mako game is unto itself.
Yeah.
I mean, I've hooked big tarpon and stuff like that, which are great, but the mako game is just you feel like you are outclassed when you hook a fish like that, and it's just a grind, But for me, just hooking the fish and seeing them jump is everything. I don't have to land a fish that size, to be honest with you. Just getting them to hooking them and watching them do his thing, to me, is everything.
Yeah,
that's the greatest thing about the fishery. Because a lot of those big ones, you don't even get them to the boat. They run, they jump, boom, they're gone. You know, something happens.
700-pounder is jumping?
Yes.
Out of the water?
Absolutely.
Yes. Really?
Yeah.
Can you imagine that, Corey?
Yeah, wrap your mind around it.
Al's got some of the greatest images I've ever seen on one of the trips we went on. And if you can find his photos, they are absolutely amazing.
It was funny. They, you know, Kirk Dieter, who's a dear friend of Conway and mine, he's the editor of Field & Stream. He had called me and said, hey, Q, you know, I want you to come on this two-day trip with me and Conway, but I don't really want to tell you what it's about. I just want you to shoot photos. Because I don't want you to fish. I want you to shoot. I'm like, all right. He goes, what am I shooting? He goes, well, just try to capture things running fast. And I'm like, okay. So I have my kid running around the house, and I was trying to stop him like, for like 2 weeks. And I got it all dialed in, and then when I went out there, I realized, okay, this is going to be serious stuff, you know. And it was great being next to Conway because he knows the sport, and, like, I was right on his shoulder. And as soon as that fish took off, he goes, okay, Q, get ready. He's coming. And, bam, he jumped, and I had it on motor drive, and I was really fortunate and lucky that I got some really great photos.
The greatest Mako jumping photos ever. And,
really?
And I've had pro photographers on my boat for years trying to get that shot. Al got that shot more than once.
What's the trick, Al? I mean,
the trick is just having the instincts of knowing when those fish are going to come up and just pressing on that button and just blasting, you know, trying to keep the fish in the middle of the frame, making sure your aperture's right, you know, all that stuff.
And I think I saw you in the video. You were actually, like, kind of behind Conway getting the rod in the shot and the fish jumping in the background. So I get what you're up to.
Yeah. That was on our email blast this week.
Really cool.
Barney's email blast. He posted that video, and you could actually access that through the Let's Talk Hookup Facebook page, too. So
great.
If you want to see that, check it out for sure. Now, Al Q, you have you caught a giant rooster in the East Cape, speaking of the East Cape there.
I was very, very lucky and fortunate that everything I knew up until the point of that moment in fishing came together.
Yeah.
It was like having, you know, luck, having, making a good cast, getting the fish to eat, stripping the fly right, fighting the fish correctly. It was almost like I was on a couch with a remote and watching it in slow motion.
Wow.
But it was truly one of the greatest accomplishments I've ever had with a fly rod. You know, the fish was close to 70 pounds.
Yeah. Standing on the beach. And casting a fly is
man to man. There's no place for hiding. It's like you got to either do it or not do it, and it all came together. Very, very lucky.
And the rooster is by far one of the most difficult fish to catch on a fly rod. Yeah. Period. I mean, I would say maybe even the most.
A lot of guys go down there and they really put a lot of time into it. And I was fortunate; I got one on the first time. But to my buddy's credit, Jeff DeBrown. Yeah, we spent the day prior to going after them. He showed me all the little techniques and had me go through the drill like numerous times because he said all these little things are going to make a big difference. And when I caught that fish, Jeff wasn't with me. He was with another buddy down the beach chasing another fish. I just happened to walk the other way and saw two fish coming. And there was a small one and a big one, and I had enough time to just get myself my composure, and I threw a nice long cast and let it sit there. I wanted the fly to sink. Prior to that, I threw over the top of a fish three times and missed him, and I was so pissed. So I said, I got to get that fly to sink out. So I let it sink, and then as I started stripping, the little one was on it, and I just started stripping. When I say fast, I mean long strips and running backwards. That's how fast you got to move the fly. And he was coming straight at me like a dart. And he got about 10 feet from the beach, and the big one just shouldered him out and ate with the comb out of the water, shaking his head.
Oh,
it was unbelievable.
That's incredible.
Yeah, hit him, and then he just took off about, you know, 200-something yards.
Wow. That's tough enough deal on conventional gear, getting the right cast and making it out.
Yeah, it just was lucky. Everything came together. So.
You know, if you spend some time in the East Cape, you see all these wild fly fishermen running up and down the beach all the time. Now, it's a pretty popular sport down there. You know, you could do quads, but it's a hunt, right? It's hunting up and down the beach.
Yeah, you're looking. And that day, we saw four roosters, and we covered 25 miles of beach in an ATV. So it just gives you an idea.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a high-percentage game.
Yeah, Jeff DeBrown, who I know from Rancho Leonero, he hangs out at Rancho Leonero and stuff like that. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's been down there forever. He's been down there how many years?
Yeah, about 30 years or something.
Yeah, so he's really experienced.
Yeah. that's a tough gig down there.
He was so happy. You have no idea how happy he was when it all went down.
Yeah.
Because he had so much pressure on him. He knew I wanted a rooster. He'd been trying to get me down there. And then the first day we got it. And I said, okay, can you relax now? Can you relax?
Yeah.
You know, it was so funny.
So one of the reasons you're here today, other than talk about fly fishing and, you know, all the great opportunities, is Finding Joe Brooks. It's a new movie and a big premiere coming up, right?
Yes. Me and Conway put this little thing together. It's going to be at the Patagonia store in Santa Monica. And there's a film called Finding Joe Brooks. It was made by his two nephews. And it was really cool. They kind of reached out through social media and asked if we can premiere the film here in Los Angeles. And, you know, Conway's heavily involved with Cast Hope. And the Joe Brooks Foundation is with involved with conservation and education. And we thought it would be a great way to celebrate some nonprofits and teach people. You know, Joe died 47 years ago, but he was the father of modern fly fishing. He was just, he really started it all. Without Joe Brooks, we wouldn't have catch and release. We wouldn't have IGFA for fly. We wouldn't have Lefty Cray. I mean, he taught Lefty Cray how to cast.
Wow.
So
he taught the master how to cast.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And, you know, there used to be a show on called The American Sportsman on Sundays. And, you know, Joe would be with, like, you know, Bing Crosby and Chili catching, you know, trout. Or he basically took the fly rod and showed people we can go anywhere and catch fish.
And that's what Conway was explaining. He basically took it mainstream from the stream out.
He did, yeah. So he took it from the river catching trout to what we're like catching. And now we've evolved to catching rooster fish. And now we're getting makos. And so he really
spearheaded.
He was definitely the guy, the pioneer. And I think that's been lost. I think I don't think a lot of people realize that even in the fly fishing world.
Yeah, and even Lefty, who was his protege, really, like when Lefty went to New Guinea the first time, I was like, oh my God, why is he going to New Guinea? But he was carrying on Joe's legacy.
Wow.
He was pushing the boundaries and going places to show people there's amazing fish all over the world and we can catch them with fly rods or even any kind of rod. And Lefty fished everything. So,
wow.
I mean, it was just, it's a great story for fishermen, for fly fishermen, for the industry. And it's a beautiful story. Because Joe had some hard times. He was an alcoholic part of his life, and he was really down. He was almost homeless at one point.
Wow.
And to see what he did in 20 years is just remarkable.
So, and when is this premiere?
This will be Saturday, November 16th. If you go to the Google Patagonia store in Santa Monica, you can go to their events page, and there'll be a little box there on November 16th that says, Brooks Bourbon and Barbecue. We're going to have a little tailgate party prior to the film. And the tickets will actually go on sale today at noon. And we plan it will sell out because we have a limited amount of seating. But we're going to have a band. We're going to have Traeger Grills are going to be making food. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Wow. Now, is that information? I looked up Joe Brooks' documentary on Google.
It won't be. It's not on the documentary now, but once that link goes live, they'll probably put a link up somewhere.
Yeah.
But you can find that link right now on the Patagonia Santa Monica store.
Okay.
Yes.
So that, and then you can buy tickets, and you anticipate
at noon tickets will go on sale.
Sale noon today, and it's going to sell out.
I believe it will.
Yeah, yeah, probably
for sure. Well, as you can hear, we have a great show lined up for you. A lot to talk about with these two gentlemen, right, Corey?
Like, are you kidding me, Pete? I mean,
yeah,
this is incredible. Conway Bowman with the Makos on the Fly and Al Q, and man, I know we talked about rooster fish, but we haven't even talked about your record calico bass, sea bass locally.
How about some Corbina?
Dude, yeah, we've got a lot to talk about in studio today. You want to give us a shout? It's 833-288-0973. And if it's not the perfect time of the year, the best tuna fishing we've had, we're giving away a full-day trip on the San Diego out of Seaforth Sport Fishing. Some incredible local
Unreal.
Tuna fishing.
Yeah.
Like the best it's been this month.
It's just fantastic. And here we are. It's almost Halloween.
So we're going to give away one of those trips out of Seaforth. And we're going to be right back on Let's Talk Cookup with Conway and Al Q.
Get ready for the largest event in our history. Saturday, November 2nd, it's Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Hi, this is Doug Kern, and we will have great savings from Daiwa on Lexa, Saltist, and Saltiga reels. Fantastic offers on the Proteus Wind Grip Rod, too. Plus, Daiwa will offer a free gift with purchase. Over 20 manufacturers' reps, including Daiwa, plenty of seminars by saltwater experts, huge raffle, and most of all, incredible deals on tackle. Up to 80% off. Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing, Saturday, November 2nd.
I always wear a life jacket when I'm on the water because I'm lazy. I like floating like a giant turtle covered with SPF 50. The life jacket does the work. I highly recommend this to everyone. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
It's Yamaha's Why Wait for Spring Fall Sales Event from October 1st to November 26th. Take advantage of special offers on eligible new 2.5 to 300 horsepower four strokes and be ready to hit the water in spring. For details, visit YamahaOutboards.com or your local Yamaha Outboards dealer today. Yamaha, reliability starts here. For a limited time only, offer ends November 26, 2019, subject to change. Other restrictions and conditions apply. Select models excluded. See authorized participating Yamaha Outboard dealers for details. Cannot be used with any other Yamaha offer.
Sport fishing, not just for dad anymore. At Dana Wharf Sport Fishing, kids fish free every Sunday. Free half-day fishing trip and clinic free for kids 12 and under every Sunday at Dana Wharf. Join the Dana Wharf Kids Club and get over $100 of really cool stuff like two free fishing trips, a free whale watch trip, and more. Dana Wharf, everyone's favorite since 1971. Click DanaWharf.com or visit them in the Dana Point Harbor, the bass capital of the West, and only minutes from the 5 Freeway in Orange County. DanaWharf.com, where kids fish free.
38 years ago, my parents started Fastlane Sailing Center. They sold catamarans because they wanted to do what they loved and sell what they loved to do. They wanted to share their passion with others. Share the stoke. I'm Hayden Lane, and over the last three decades, my parents have shared that passion with thousands of people, my brother, sister, and I among them. We grew up right there at the shop in Dana Landing Marina in Mission Bay, sailing on the bay, fishing off the docks, and later off the Hobie Mirage kayaks. We grew up surrounded by the water. Our shop was filled with tools that Hobie and other brands have made to enjoy on the water. And I use them all. I mean all of them. Wouldn't you? So when you come into the shop, you're not going to hear a salesperson trying to convince you to buy something. You're going to hear us bragging about how much fun we have on these toys and telling you to do the same. We test every product out there, and we only sell the best because we want to use the best. So check out our website at fastlanekayaking.com or get on down to the shop in Dana Landing and find your next adventure.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup and fun time in studio and
yeah,
incredible stories.
Yeah, great. And we've just begun.
Right?
Yeah, we have just begun. Before we get to wait, I got to talk about our Let's Talk Hookup Palmas de Cortez Fall Fix Spectacular. It's 25 years
it's
going
incredible.
Down to Palmas, right? They've been a sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup for like 26 years, and we sure appreciate the Van Wormer family. And I want to throw out a big thank you to Eddie Dahmal, who everybody knows from the Fred Hall shows. Eddie's the guy behind the face behind Van Wormer Resorts at the Fred Hall shows. Eddie's a great guy, and he really helped us out, did some beautiful T-shirts for us, and made sure the group was all happy. We had 60 anglers, 60 anglers, 19 boats, and we had a great group from the Dana Point Yacht Club. Holly, a great person, and we had some old friends and some new friends that came down. And the cool thing is one of our very old friends that's been a part of a Let's Talk Hookup tournaments for a long time, Team No Bananas, represented by Drew Veros, came down, and they swept it, man.
They cleaned the house.
They had 6 wahoo in 2 days. And 3 a day. They had the biggest tuna. They had the biggest wahoo with 30 pounds. They had the biggest tuna was like 53 pounds, something like that. But there was a lot of tuna caught, a lot of wahoo caught, a lot of marlin released. Well, we had some, but they had the $500 cash for the largest wahoo from Statewide Stripes. They had the $500 cash for the largest tuna from Statewide Stripes. We gave away Maori Jim sunglasses, Fisherman's Landing Tackle gift certificates. A lot of fun had by all. But we had challenging weather. There was a tropical storm that swept in on Sunday and dumped 5 inches of rain in Cabo, Los Barriles, and different areas there. 5 inches in one day.
That's a lot of rain.
The streets were flooded, you know, sand pouring down and stuff like that. It was challenging. We got out. They closed the port, actually, from La Paz to Cabo. But we got out on Genran on the Vaquera before they closed the port out of Palmas. And about half the boats decided to go out in the pouring rain. Half the boats opted to say, nah, I'm not going out on the second day. That was Sunday. But we had good fishing. We went down south. Of course, we were sitting in air-conditioned comfort on the Vaquera on the way down in the pouring rain, and poor Diego and his and Manuel were up on top in their slickers braving the rain. And we got down to Vinaramas, just south of Fridays down there, and the skies parted, and it was beautiful. Never rained a drop on us all day there.
That's crazy.
We got back to caught a bunch of tuna, went back to Los Barriles. And everyone was going, you fished in that all day? I was like, what? It was fine. And they go, it poured rain all day in Los Barriles.
Crazy.
And streets were all flooded and everything like that. But it ended up being really, really fun time. And then our group, we had a big tournament party on Sunday night, and you know, of course, the Ellie Duchesne, Lou Duchesne's widow was there, and we honored Ellie, and we had some great lures from Justin at Macara Pulling Lures given away, and Lou Duchesne, we've been dedicated to him for a long time, that tournament. But it was fun. A lot of his family was there and stuff like that. So it was a great time. So then the term was over. We stayed an extra day and went diving down at Cabo Pulmo National Park, which is about an hour and a half drive from Los Barriles. We got a car, and oh boy, that was a challenging trip, because don't forget, it rained 5 inches the day before. You know what happens to the roads in Mexico when it rains 5 inches? They flood because they don't have a lot of the infrastructure we have. So fortunately, most of the way to Cabo Pulmo is paved, and we went through La Ribera, went through a lot of puddles, a lot of diversions and stuff like that, made it there. We had a four-wheel drive truck, so we were in pretty good shape. We get on the dirt road, which is about 10 kilometers before you get to Cabo Pulmo, and oh my gosh, that was the challenge, because there were lots of deep puddles, and there was a couple. Fortunately, we let a couple trucks go in front of us to kind of check out how deep the puddles were, and we made them through them, but there was one that was pretty iffy. But we made it there, and the dive person that we dove with, who was just a Pili, was a great lady, been down there for many years, Cabo Pulmo divers, and she's like, I don't know how good it's going to be after the rain. You know, wind was blowing, you know, they were launched the boats off the beach there. We went out there, and it was spectacular. 50-foot visibility, lots of huge fish, 100-pound pargo, 100-pound grouper around, giant cabrillo right next to you. I mean, face-to-face with huge schools of grunts and jacks all over the place. It was just fantastic. I mean, if you're a diver and you have not dove Cabo Pulmo State Reef, October and November are the prime months because the water's the clearest then. And
probably close to its warmest too, huh?
It's pretty warm. It was. Yeah. I was diving in a 2-mil suit, and it was 84, I think, in the water. But just beautiful. Did two tank dive there. It was $130 for a 2-tank dive, and it included the boat trip, all the gear rental, the whole thing. And it's. But you need to make reservations way in advance because it's super popular. People from all over the world are down there.
And like you were saying, they limit the reef to 200 people a day.
Limit the number of people that can go in there. And there's several operations down there. But we enjoyed this Cabo Pulmo divers. They were really, really nice. And I'd go back in a heartbeat with them. But anyway, Palmas de Cortez 26th annual was a huge success. We're looking forward to going back next year, same time of the year. It's a great time of the year down there, as you guys have been down there in the East Cape. October is a wonderful time down there. Water's warm. The fish are abundant.
Typically excellent weather.
excellent weather. And it was excellent. I mean, it was beautiful except for that one day.
That's usually the best weather of the year.
Absolutely, yeah. And the best fishing. But and it was good fishing. I mean, it was just kind of that storm kind of interrupted us, but... But it was a good time. Great people. We're going to do it again next year, our 26th annual, October 8th through the 12th of 2020. Palmas books up, and our tournament books up. So if you want to book your boat, book your fishing, book now. Call Eddie at 800-77-WAHOO. You know, I would highly encourage you, too, to book with Gen Ren Sport Fishing. Get one of Mark's beautiful boats down there and get down there and go fishing.
So you're saying if you want to join next year, you'd better get on it, like, right now.
Get on it now. Yeah, for sure. Well, speaking of the Baja, the cast man is standing by, Corey.
Sponsored by Terrafin Sea Surface Temperature Charts. Focus your offshore fishing in the most productive areas by using Terrafin. And now with Terrafin Mobile, you can take it with you on your iPad, iPhone, or Android device. Just download the latest charts before you leave, and all the information is right there for you. Check Terrafin.com for more information.
Good morning, Castman.
Hey, good morning, boys. Good show, and glad you had a good tournament down at Palmas. And, you know, you're talking about the good fishing that's going on down there. And sure enough, just like I've been reporting for the last few weeks, from Loreto all the way down to Cabo, tons of Dorado. You know, we keep talking a lot of little fish, but there's some big fish also. But easy limits of Dorado and the tuna, especially down and around the Iman Bank, San Luis Banks, Vinorama in that area, getting some nice tuna. You know, they're going anywhere from 20 to 30, an occasional 100-pounder. But there was a big fish caught at the Outer Gordo this past week, a 335-pound yellowfin. Lots of marlin. You know, we have the big tournaments going on right now. I think they have one tournament started this week, and I think the Bisbee is this coming week. And there's blue marlin there. Not a lot of numbers on them, but there's plenty of striped marlin around. So that's happening pretty well there. And, of course, what gets me all excited this time of year is the wahoo that are starting to show up now. And they're getting more and more each day there. I had a report from Bob Lewis down there from La Playita there at San Jose del Cabo, and he mentioned that one boat came in with six yesterday or the day before yesterday. And some nice quality wahoo, too, anywhere from, 25 to 40, 45. I heard a 160-pounder being brought in. So those things, that's really starting to shape up now. Of course, we've got our annual cast tours, Wahoo Rumble, November 15 to 19 in San Jose del Cabo. So I'm hoping we're going to be right in the middle of the mix down there. But some really good fishing going on. Like I said, starting Loreto for the Dorado, moving on down to La Paz. You're starting to get into the tuna and the Dorado and a few wahoo there, Roca Montaña there off of Sorolla Island. Then, of course, you get to the East Cape and then San Jose del Cabo and the Cabo. On the Pacific side, Cabo, the boats are starting to fish there a little bit more now, up to Jaime, the Golden Gate, the 1200 spot. Anyway, they're doing real well there on lots of striped marlin there. I've heard multiple releases per day there. So things are really, really going good. And like you said, you had one bad day of weather, but, we're getting over that stormy season now. And hopefully that's the last little bit we're going to get down in that area this year. Of course, we are in the hurricane time frame, from June to the end of October. But I think it looks like things are over. The water's starting to cool down. And, of course, those hurricanes like to generate that hot water. But anyway, that's the report for this week, Pete. And I'll talk to you boys next Saturday. Anybody wants to join Corey and I on that El Salto trip, January 10 to 14. I still got a couple spots left on that. Otherwise, I'll talk to you boys next Saturday.
Hey, Castman, I want to also mention, too, that we have our Let's Talk Hookup Cast Tours Loreto Rumble next May, Cinco de Mayo, down there in beautiful Loreto. It's going to be a great time with our group. And Steve Pazel, who's going to come with us, alerted me that the airfare on Aero Calafia right now is $250 round trip right now. So really good time to buy your airfare right now.
Yeah, man. Sounds like a plan. Like I said, it's and the same thing for the El Salto trip out of Tijuana on Valaris. About $125, $130 round trip. Then you can add a couple of things to that. But, yeah,
round trip.
It's a heck of a fare.
Well, wow. There isn't much to add to that, Cass.
No, there isn't. Yeah,
unless you want extra leg room for $7 or $10 bucks or whatever.
That's it. Hey, Cass, appreciate the report, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
All right, boys, have fun.
Thank you very much.
All right, and Cass Manders' report is sponsored by Dana Landing on Mission Bay, your one-stop shop for everything you need to go fishing. As Conway knows, it's Conway's home, Dana Landing on Mission Bay.
That's right.
You get it all right there, right?
Yes, the greatest market and tackle shop around.
And sandwiches and complete saltwater tackle shop, full deli, Mexican and California licenses, trips and six-pack charters. And when it comes to freshwater tackle, check out East County Bait and Tackle, a full line of freshwater tackle and live bait for your great day at the lake. Dana Landing right across from SeaWorld, next to Dana Landing Launch Ramp, Mission Bay, and East County Bait and Tackle at the end of the 67 in Maple View and Lakeside. Check danalanding.com.
And that's where you meet all your customers, right, Conway, is right there at Dana Landing?
Right there. It's the perfect setup. My boat's right there. And it's great. They've got it all.
Go in, get your lunch, your sandwiches, your licenses.
There is no better place. I mean, and I've fished all over, and that is the best setup. So it's great.
They do a great job. Yeah. Johnny even builds your rods.
And Johnny even builds my rods and keeps me in the game. So thank you, Johnny.
How about that? Well, all right. Phones are packing up. You want to get through? Here's your chance. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. You want to get through, have a chance to win a trip on the San Diego, go catch some tuna? There's your shot. Let's jump into it, Corey.
Let's talk to Bill. Bill's calling from Leucadia. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup this morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning, guys. Conway, got a question for you. I heard a story that you were out this year and you had three rookies on the boat. They're kind of drinking beer and having a good time and weren't prepared at all for when you had a giant swim into the chum line. You want to retell that story a bit?
Sure. I had that happen a couple times with a couple different groups. But, yeah, so, no, that specific day was interesting. Had a couple guys on the boat, three guys, and they weren't really experienced fishermen. But towards the beginning of the day, I said, you know, we may encounter a really big mako shark. And so I think they kind of looked at me like, eh, how big is a big mako shark? And I said, you know, it could be over 500 pounds. I'm like, oh, yeah, right, whatever. And so right at 3 o'clock, this monster shows up. And when a big fish shows up, you have to be very specific on what you do, because we're fishing out of a bay boat. These makos, you know, they can jump, and they can jump in the boat. Anyway,
they can jump in the boat.
They can jump in the boat.
Oh my!
So the guys got excited. One guy grabbed the rod. He flopped the fly out very close to the boat. And when I say close, it was probably 5 feet off the boat.
Ooh.
And the mako basically came around and grabbed it. And that's a scenario I never like to happen. Anyway, so the mako started doing these big donuts, basically swimming in circles right at the boat. And could you imagine a 500-pound mako shark doing that? So at that point, I grabbed the rod, and I got pinned to the rail. And the shark swam under the boat and then jumped right at the starboard, the stern of the boat, right at the starboard corner. And the thing... I mean, almost jumped in the boat.
Oh.
And the good thing was when it jumped, it leaned out and not in. If that thing would have hit the boat, it would have been pretty
chaos.
It would have been chaos. So so the moral lesson.
What would you have done if the thing jumped in the boat?
You know, I don't know. I've never encountered something like that. I mean, I've had, you know, smaller ones.
You jump in the water?
Well, I don't know. I mean, but I'll tell you, once that thing, so we chased it down and we lost it. And there was silence on the boat for about 10 minutes. They were like, oh my God. And so we're just, you know, and I said, you know, guys, that's very dangerous. And so prior to that, I kind of explained we have to be very
strategic in how you place it.
Well, yeah, but also you have to pay attention to what's going on. So the moral of the story is always pay attention and listen to what the guide tells you.
Yeah.
Because potentially things could get dangerous.
Yeah.
But we got lucky. But
so what went wrong? It was just too close to the boat?
Too close to the boat. Yeah. And I like hooking those big fish at least 30 feet from the boat because it gives me a chance to maneuver the boat away from them. So you never want to hook them close.
Yeah.
And also I'm fishing out of a bay boat, so there's not a lot of freeboard on that thing.
No.
That's very, very low to the water.
Yeah, very low. And you've seen my boat.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful boat.
But the advantage of that boat is I can run those big fish down very quickly.
Yeah.
So anyway, so... Bill, it was an interesting day, and everybody came out in one piece.
Were you on that boat, Bill?
No, I was not on that boat, but I heard about it.
Yeah.
What was talk about the reaction of the guys when they hooked that boat and they weren't prepared at all? That's pretty hysterical.
Oh yeah, I can't say what they were saying, but they're like, oh my gosh, you know, they had no idea what was going on. They had no clue.
Yeah. Your typical customer is a tourist? Is it a local? What is your typical customer?
My typical customer is a fairly skilled angler, actually.
Oh really?
Yeah,
okay.
I get a lot of big game fly anglers from all over the world that come out to do this. But occasionally, you know, you get people that are just curious about it and they don't quite know what they're getting into, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, things get a little bit kind of squirrely on the deck. But that's fine. I mean, that's the exception and not the rule what happened there. But as I said, it's very important for people to understand that they're dealing with a very big fish.
That was almost Tenkara for Mako.
Yeah, pretty much Tenkara, which is a certain fly rod. Yeah. But it was interesting.
Wow.
So you never know what you're going to get, but it's really exciting.
Bill, thanks a lot for
thanks,
the call
Bill.
This morning.
Talk about exciting. We got crazy stuff going, and we're going to have more ahead of us on Let's Talk Hookup with Conway Bowman and Al Q. We're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, this is Jeff from Cedros Kayak Fishing. 2018 was a fantastic season on Cedros, and we are so jazzed for 2019. We are the only tour group serving Cedros that is now flying all of our trips conveniently from Southern California. Yep, you heard me right. SoCal. No more rod fees, no more overweight charges, no more parking fees, no more border waits. Just a nice private charter flight down to the island where we will have you fishing that day. That's right. We arrive at Cedros by 10 a.m., so be prepared to fish hard that first day. Yep, all included here at Cedros Kayak Fishing. Don't want to fish from a kayak? No problem, as we have also added a brand new custom 28-foot Super Ponga to our lineup to accommodate our growing demand to provide Ponga trips. We are the small group specialists. If you are looking for a more custom-style trip with a personal feel, Cedros Kayak Fishing is your spot. Visit our website at www.cedroskayakfishing.com or just give me a call at 760-412-2507 to secure your spot.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short two-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
Saturday, November 2nd is Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Seminars by saltwater experts, incredible deals on tackle and clothing. Choose from hundreds of t-shirts and shorts from AFTCO. It's AFTCO and Fisherman's Landing, Saturday, November 2nd.
This is Captain Mark Rayer for Genren Sport Fishing. Located on the Sea of Cortez, we will show you a fishing experience that will exceed your expectations. Genren boats are outfitted with all accurate reels from the smallest Valiant 300 to the beefy ATDs. Simrad Electronics, Fraser Gyro binoculars, and cruise with a passion to fish is just part of what makes us number one. Also, Cabo Yachts Vaquera has a Seakeeper for your comfort. For two live webcams and up-to-date fish report, accommodation packages, check out TeamGenRen.com. We pick up at Rancho Leonero and all East Cape locations. So let's go fishing.
Time to talk about great gear from Shimano. And boy, Corey, you had that great time down at Cedros Kayak Fishing with Jeff and the Tranks.
Tranks what? 300,
Tranks
baby.
Tranks 300. Yes. There is not a better reel for calico bass.
There isn't.
Right?
3-inch short fishing, period.
Yeah.
Feed, awesome Barracuda, Bonito. We even had yellows. We had yellows on the weed list.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't have done it without the Tranks 300.
The power, right?
It's, you know, you have cranking power, but the biggest level of power is once you hook a fish and you have the follow through and that cranking power to follow through. And we had fish, calicos up to nearly 8 pounds and Tranks 300.
Getting them out of the weeds and everything like that. And the thing about it is, too, it's a casting machine. You think, oh, well, this much power, it won't cast very well. How does it cast?
It's smooth and butter and just beautiful, and the drags are smooth.
It has that cast control that you can regulate with it. It's an amazing reel. If you don't have one, whether it be the 200, the 300, the 400, or the 500 Tranks, get one now at your local Shimano deal. Check it out.
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, El Gato Dos, Pride, Tribute, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing, for charters or regular open party schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup Radio Network.
Yeah, indeed. And, of course, be sure to tune in on the app for us, too. Our app is fantastic, 15,000 strong now and growing, and really fantastic.
We had a couple guys on the trip, Mark and Greg, and they were on the Jeff Cedros kayak trip, and they listen while they're driving through Orange County in L.A., and they love the app.
Yeah, pretty fantastic. We're pretty excited about it. So if you haven't downloaded it, go to the App Store or the Google Play Store, depending on the phone you have, or your iPad or whatever. Download it. It's free, and you can listen anytime on demand. And Adam, our guy, does such a great job of putting those archives back up for us, too. And right after the show, he gets the archives up so you can listen on demand or you can listen live anytime.
Maybe
you can even call.
maybe you missed the first part of the show and you want to listen to the
first
30 minutes.
Oh, yeah, you want to hear that. Yeah, for sure. Hey, I'm very excited because 1 week from today, right after the radio show, I'll be boarding the Shogun and going on our six-day Let's Talk Hookup adventure down to Guadalupe Island with the boys down at the Shogun. There were two spots open last weekend. There was only one spot left. So, actually, they filled the two spots after last weekend. Then one other guy bailed out.
It happens.
So there's one spot left. So if you want to go with me next Saturday on an epic trip, I'm telling you, it's a great group of people. Shogun does such a great job, and they're biting at Guadalupe.
And the
fishing's
been good at Guadalupe.
Fishing's been really good at Guadalupe.
And there is nothing that eats better than the yellowtail and the yellowfin that come from Guadalupe.
Oh,
it's incredible.
It's something about
it's
what they
different
eat down
level.
There. It's a different level, for
it
sure.
Is.
Yeah, indeed. So if you want to go, just call the Shogun office, 619-226-8030, and I'm sure Frank will have a lot more to talk about that. Tomorrow morning on Let's Talk Hookup, the one and only Frank Lopresti will be here from Rural Polaris and Shogun. But
some heavyweights this weekend, man.
Yeah, man. We got some great show going on here. Let's go ahead and jump back in the phones.
Let's do it. They want to talk to the heavyweights. Let's talk to Mark. Mark from Santee. Welcome to the show this morning, Mark.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Great.
My question is, I got really two questions. What size fly do you use for? I fly fish in rivers and stuff like that, but never out in the middle of the ocean for such a big fish. What size fly do you use? And
for a mako shark,
what do you do with all your? And yes, and what do you do with all your line when you're in a boat?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's a really good question. Okay, so I'll address the fly first, and Al, you can jump in here too. So when I'm specifically fishing mako sharks, I use a fly called a tube fly. So it's a fly, the material is tied on a tube, and that slides up and down a steel leader, and then I have a hook that is attached to the steel leader, and it's anywhere from an 8-aught to a 10-aught hook, and they're very wide gaped hooks. So that's the fly for mako sharks and any big game that I'm doing. And then so for an overall just saltwater.
Yeah, I would say you want to cast the amount of line that you're going to be throwing, not more than that. So if you're going to cast 30 feet, you want to have 30 feet of line out because any extra line could be very damaging to you and people around you. So that would be the main thing. And as far as the fly go, you said something about a leader. I know Conway likes to use single strand. Why do you do that, Conway?
Okay, so when you're mako fishing, obviously you need a steel leader because the sharks will bite right through monofilament. But I use a 120-pound stainless steel leader, and the reason I like that is because it fits very neatly between a mako's teeth. It's sort of like dental floss. Multiple strand wire over the duration of a long fight. The mako's teeth will wear through that wire and it'll unspin and then basically it'll
they're smaller fibers and so the small fibers get
and
worn down.
Exactly.
Also,
wow.
Also those fibers by moving back and forth can create an electrical current.
That's yes. In that
really?
Yes, it can.
Say what?
Yes, it create and there's something I don't know and I'm not a shark biologist.
It freaks them out.
But what happens? There's some sort of electrical thing that happens when those wires move together and in a shark's mouth and they start rubbing on their teeth. And a lot of times that's at the end of the fight, and that's when they get really squirrely around the boat. So during the release, if that's happening, that shark could absolutely go crazy because it's like it's getting electrocuted.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
so
scientists
told me that, the listeners that don't understand, the braided fibers of the wire actually kind of create a current.
It does.
No
yeah.
good for mako.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the single strand is by far the best because, once again, one strand of wire. Number two, it fits nicely between their teeth, like dental floss.
So any larger wouldn't fit in between the teeth cleanly.
Well, you know, it would. It would. But I like it because it's easy for me to cast 120-pound stainless steel. You know, it's still fairly thin.
Yeah.
You start getting into the 140, 160, it's clunky, and it's hard to deal with. And plus, it's harder to tie a haywire twist onto your hooks. But 120, I mean, I land some really big makos with that stainless steel leader
but
system.
But stainless steel versus the regular, single-strand wire. That's
well, it's, they call
it's
it...
brown.
Yeah, well, it's a brown wire, tobacco
brown wire.
Yeah. And I think that is stainless steel. So.
Oh, it is stainless.
Yeah, it is stainless.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
It works great.
Yeah. Mark, thanks a lot for the call. Good question. Now, you talk about flies. Al Q is like the master fly tire, right? Right, Conway? This guy ties some amazing, beautiful flies. What's the art of fly tying?
Just matching what you're trying to fish with. I mean,
and making sure things move really well. You know, there's a lot of synthetic materials today, which are great, cheap and expensive, but there's nothing beats naturals. Because I think natural materials move and breathe.
Natural materials like?
Like bucktail, like feathers, you know, things that move naturally in the water. Mm-hmm. I think really fish really respond well to them. Yeah. Plus, they land soft. You can do a lot of damage with a really beautifully tied natural fly.
Yeah.
And they probably breathe better in the water. I mean, I can just kind of visualize the whole thing. The synthetics are kind of tight and tightly bound where the feathers and the hair can open up.
And for certain applications, synthetics are great. You know, if you have toothy fish, obviously you're going to use synthetic flies because you won't go through as many. But for the most part, if you can get away with using natural materials, I tell most young fly tires, really don't, you know, foo-foo them because they've been around a long time. They still work. And for me, I think they're still the best. So,
do most experienced fly fishermen like you, Conway, and Al Q, do you tie your own flies? Is that pretty much the norm, or is it unusual?
For me, it's just another extension of the game, and I get a lot of enjoyment knowing that I'm tying something and a fish, you know, I can fool a fish to eating it. I don't think you have to tie flies. There's so many great flies out there in the world that, yeah. You know. For me, it's just a personal thing. I just enjoy it.
Yeah,
I buy my flies. I don't have time. I used to love to tie, but it's a time thing.
Yeah. It's time consuming to do it right.
It's very time consuming, but it's just with two boys and it's like, you know what? Actually, I'm trying to teach them how to tie flies.
Yeah, I was going to say the kids could be perfect for
We're
going
to go
right?
to Uncle Al's house, and he's going to teach them how to do it.
Yeah, my daughter Quinn is 10, and she ties flies with me. I mean, we have a great
really?
Time. Yeah, she loves to tie
what
flies.
What a great art too.
Yeah, it's fun.
I've spent some time tying flies, and it's really. It's not an easy deal to do it right.
But once you go down that squirrel hole, man, with the amount of materials that are in the world, I have a temple to tackle. I mean, when you walk into my shed, I have so many Tupperware things full of fly tying material. It's insane. Materials. Yeah.
And there's probably nothing better than getting hooked on tying your first fly. Might not have been the best looking, but once you hook your own fish on your own fly, it's
the best flies sometimes aren't the best looking. They just the way they move.
The way
the water.
They get bit. Yeah. Going down a squirrel hole, like you said. Hey, we got a whole nother hour ahead of us on Let's Talk Cook Up. We have Conway Boehm and Al Q having lots of fun in studio. You want to give us a shout? It's 833-288-0973. That line just did fill. We had one open line. We're giving away a full-day trip on the San Diego out of C4 Sport Fishing. We're going to be right back. It's Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Cook Up.
KWFN-FM and KWFN-HD1 San Diego, a radio.com sports station.
Julio Jones takes it the distance, and the Falcons take a 23-20 lead.
Julio Jones plays here on 97.3 The Fan. This program is sponsored and produced by Let's Talk Hookup. Opinions and offers expressed during this program are not those of Intercom Communications or 97.3 The Fan. Sometimes they tell some pretty hefty fish stories, and we don't know if they're true or not.
One of the dream trips for most anglers is Alaska. There are so many lodges. How do you make a choice? It's easy. Choose the one most Let's Talk Hookup listeners return to time after time. Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. No one does it better than Kingfisher Charters. They offer the best service, the most comfortable accommodations, fantastic food, and the finest charter captains in Sitka. All for the ultimate value. One visit and you will understand why nobody beats Kingfisher Charters. Sitka is famous for some of the best runs of salmon in Alaska. And if giant Alaskan halibut is your target, the expert captains at Kingfisher Charters know the hot spots and can put you on a fish of a lifetime. Plenty of rockfish and huge ling cod are there too. And when it comes to fish processing, the best in Alaska is Kingfisher Charters. It's all included in your package. In fact, everything is included except tips. It is truly amazing how the Kingfisher crew continues the quality of service they deliver year after year. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136 or check kingfishercharters.com.
Get ready for the largest event in our history. Saturday, November 2nd, it's Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Hi, this is Doug Kern, and we are pulling out all the stops on this one with discounts from 20 to 80% on hundreds of items. Just listen to this list of vendors. Accurate, Avet, Calstar, Costa, Daiwa, Fishworks, Gamakatsu, Iser, Mustad, MC Baits, Okuma, Olakai, Owner, P-Line, Phoenix, Power Pro, Salty Crew, Seagar, Shimano, United Composites, West Coast Marine, Wind Grips, and Yozuri. That's right, over 20 manufacturers reps. Plenty of seminars by saltwater experts, and most of all, incredible deals on tackle. Closeouts we've never offered before at Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing. Backed by popular demand, the Shimano Tranks Casting Contest. Show your surface iron casting skills. The winner gets a Tranks 500 worth $500. It's our biggest sale of the year with hundreds of items discounted up to 80%. Plus, plenty of manufacturers' incentives to spice up the pot. We'll have a huge raffle and lots of fun for everyone. So don't miss it. Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing. Unbelievable pricing on tackle, clothing, and accessories. Saturday, November 2nd.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
You know, the ranch is unique. It's one of the few places in the world where you can still drive ATVs up the beach. We have fishing from the beach. We have dive trips that we run to Pomo in a number of different spots. Kayaking, of course, has been real big. We were one of the first hotels to introduce kayaking. The ranch is small, you know, it's intimate. It's 34 rooms, so everyone gets to know everyone. The old saying, where everyone knows your name. Well, truly at Rancho Leonero, the employees do know pretty darn near all our guests' names. And what's even more interesting is most of the guests know each other's names. Very personal, very intimate, and a special, special environment. 2 miles of beachfront, mile on either side of the hotel. Rancho Leonero is really the last of the old-style Baja fishing resorts. 1-800-646-2252. 1-800-646-BAJA. And RanchoLeonero.com. I'll personally guarantee your best fishing experience and vacation at Rancho Leonero.
Let's talk candidly about long-range fishing. This is Captain Frank Lopresti of the Royal Polaris and the Shogun. Nowhere on earth will you find a fleet of long-range boats like we have in San Diego. We are fortunate to have several top-notch operations to take you to the most productive fishing grounds in the world. We all offer good food, comfortable staterooms, huge bait capacity, and top-of-the-line fish-finding electronics. So why would you choose the Royal Polaris or the Shogun for your next long-range trip? What sets us apart from the rest? It's pretty simple. The boats, the crew, and the service. From the moment you arrive at Fisherman's Landing, the service begins. We help you load your gear and do everything possible to get beginners or seasoned veterans ready to catch fish. When it's time to fish, the Royal Polaris and the Shogun have the edge there, too, delivering the two best fishing platforms in the fleet. But don't take my word for it. Come fishing with us. If you want the best, it's Royal Polaris and the Shogun. For more information, call 619-226-8030 or on the web at royalpolarissportfishing.com or shogunsportfishing.com.
22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro is home to LA's finest open party fleet, including overnights on the Freedom, Catalina Freelance on the Pursuit, half-day trips on the Monte Carlo, and three-quarter day trips on the Native Sun. Plus, you can charter the Ultra, Spectra, and True Line. There is always plenty of free parking and a fully stocked tackle store. Take advantage of the Wednesday specials on the Pursuit in Monte Carlo, and kids fish free with a paid adult on the afternoon half day. 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. Call 310-832-8304 or book online at 22ndstreet.com.